Join Pastor Bob Enyart at Denver Bible Church, located at Two Roads School at 7180 Oak Street in Arvada, Colorado. Join us on Sundays as we study the meat of the Word of God at 9:30 a.m., worship service from 10:50 until noon. Join us on Sundays to worship our awesome Creator and to equip the saints for the service of the Lord. Denver Bible Church, located at Two Roads School at 7180 Oak Street in Arvada, Colorado.
Warning, there's truth up ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Enyart.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Real Science Friday. I'm Bob Enyart. Last week, we interviewed Dr. Carl Werner, who is the executive producer of Evolution, the Grand Experiment video series, the extraordinary books in that series, including Living Fossils, beautiful DVDs. What an honor it is to have back for a second week in a row, Dr. Carl Werner. Carl, welcome back to Real Science Friday.
Well, thank you, Bob, and it's my honor to be with you.
Well, that's very kind of you. After the program last week, we talked about the amazing developments in the discovery of bird fossils. So perhaps you could describe what we're going to cover to the audience.
Well, to put this in perspective, you have to understand what evolution has taught and predicted. Evolution scientists told us that life in the past, for example, during the time of the dinosaurs, was different than today. And they've always held out this position that the plants were different, the birds were different, the mammals were different.
Right. In fact, they called it the age of the reptiles.
That's correct.
Right.
They called it the age of the reptiles, and they called it the age of the non-flowering plants or the cycads. And the problem is that as we progress in time, we're into the 150th year of evolution, and more modern animals have been found with dinosaurs to the point that you can no longer claim that the time of the dinosaurs was ancient, archaic, and a different animal and plant fauna. That is incorrect.
Well, for example, I know we're going to be talking about birds, but in your work, you document that now 432 mammal species have been discovered in the dinosaur layers, the rock layers on the earth where they find dinosaur bones.
That's right.
And this is not typically presented to the general public. In fact, what's interesting about your work, and I know we'll cover this regarding birds, is that museums all over the world, which you've traveled the world, dozens of museums and dinosaur dig sites that you've gone to, there's an intentional effort to not only downplay, but for the most part, to completely avoid putting the modern animal types, plants, birds, mammals, with their dinosaur exhibits in museums.
That is 100% accurate. And they have known about these animals for decades, almost a half century. For example, they knew of a possum called Alphadon, knew it from the dinosaur layer since 1929. Gaylord Simpson discovered that. And who has ever seen a possum on display next to a T-Rex? I have never seen that. I'm still waiting to see the fossils.
Wow.
And yet they know of this living fossil and they don't display it. Same at Dinosaur Provincial Park. They found squirrel teeth or squirrel-like teeth, as they like to call them. But who has ever seen a squirrel in the display with a dinosaur?
No. I've been to a lot of museums. I grew up visiting with our family the big museum, the Natural History Museum in New York City. In fact, I feel like I just intuitively know the layout of that place. Went there repeatedly as a young child growing up. Used to get writings from Stephen Jay Gould, who worked at the museum. And then, of course, as I've traveled the country and other countries, our kids, we like to go to the natural history museums, and I could attest to my own experience How many museums have you visited now, Dr. Werner?
We have documented over 60 museums, and that means we went through the museum and photographed every fossil on display. So I know these museums intimately. Mm. You know, you review these photographs, you know what you saw, and then you review what you saw.
Right.
And none of these museums ever had a modern bird such as a duck with a dinosaur, with a T-Rex, and yet they have found such animals.
What continents have you gone to?
Well, we've been to Australia and New Zealand, and then we've also photographed the rock layers in Israel. And then in Europe, we've been to England, Germany, Belgium, and then in North America, we've been from top to bottom, from Mexico all the way up through Canada and across Canada.
Wow, you've made a serious effort to investigate. So this is not just your opinion that the museums are being biased. You are documenting this in your books and in your DVDs.
And it's worse than this because there are three new museums that I just have went through. One was the newly remodeled Los Angeles Natural History Museum. Also, the newly remodeled Carnegie Natural History Museum. And then the third recently renovated museum, which still portrays this false imagery, is the Canadian Museum of Nature in Ottawa. It was just remodeled, and again, it does not portray modern birds with dinosaurs. The newest museums, I'm saying less than 5 years, remodeling dates, they should all have this information that there were boa constrictors with dinosaurs, possums, ducks, loons, and yet none of the new museums portray this. They still give the wrong impression to the public, and in fact, I say they're misleading the children.
Mm. You have had a conversation. You went to, I believe, the Museum of Paleontology at Berkeley, so CU Berkeley, and spoke with a rather well-known paleontologist there. His name is Dr. Clemens. Could you describe the controversy that his career has revolved around?
Well, Dr. Clemens is a paleontologist, and frankly, he doesn't believe that an asteroid wiped out the dinosaurs. He doesn't know what did, but he doesn't believe it was an asteroid. And this put him on the front burner and an object of scorn from his fellow paleontologists, saying, how could you not believe this? And he was embroiled in a national scientific debate in the scientific literature. And he decided he had to put up or shut up. And so his idea was that if an asteroid impacted the Earth, that the most sensitive animals living today would not have been able to survive that environmental disaster.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, why would it just wipe out the dinosaurs?
That's right.
That's a bit peculiar. Now, as a young Earth creationist, I point to, as the whole movement does, the global flood, the judgment of God and Noah's flood. And we see that even the evolutionists, when they line up their fossils, they do so from one extinction event to another extinction event. And these are massive worldwide extinction events, which are somewhat expected if there is a global flood. So that's not especially surprising, especially the marine extinction, I think, at the Permian Triassic boundary, I think it was, which was maybe the largest extinction event known in the history of the world. And so they say, well, this, when the dinosaurs went extinct, it's because an asteroid hit the Earth. So what? They went extinct all over the world, but just the dinosaurs?
That's right.
It's too peculiar.
Dr. Clemens from Berkeley then pointed out, well, if that's true, why did the frogs not go extinct? The most sensitive animals on the planet, the amphibians, why would frogs and salamanders that were living alongside dinosaurs not have gone extinct from an asteroid? And then he related that there were modern birds with the dinosaurs. And in our DVD and in our book, Living Fossils, he recounts that they found a Cretaceous, which means dinosaur layer, where the T-Rex live. They found a parrot with a T-Rex, which, by the way, goes right along with this concept of creation, that everything was created at once. The birds, modern animals, the extinct dinosaurs, everything was created at one time. You would expect to find modern animals next to a dinosaur if there was a creation.
Right.
And he found that evidence, and he didn't realize he was portraying that evidence, but that's what he told us with the cameras rolling.
Hmm. So in your book, Living Fossils, which I also have before me, it is absolutely a beautiful coffee table book with tremendous science documented in it. But on page 163, you have an illustration of modern parrots, and you have that next to a fossil parrot. And the headline here is Dinosaur Era Parrot, and Flamingos, Cormorants, Sandpipers, and Dinosaurs. And in fact, you have now documented quite a list of modern birds that have been excavated from dinosaur layers.
Yes, you know, before I started this project, I knew of no modern birds with dinosaurs. I never heard of such a concept.
Mm.
And yet I predicted they should be there if there was a flood and a creation and a flood. And we started going around asking scientists if they had ever heard of modern birds found with dinosaurs. And lo and behold, they had. They don't display this in the museums, mind you.
Right.
But they point out that they had found owl bones with dinosaurs, parrot bones with dinosaurs, duck bones with dinosaurs.
I haven't seen a duck on the back of a T-Rex.
Nor have I. And you know what? This is unbelievable that the museums have not rushed in there to put the birds. It wouldn't take that much to put birds on the backs of dinosaurs.
No, and because museums, they like to present the most stunning discoveries. That's normally what they would prefer to do, unless the stunning discoveries don't reinforce their materialist, Darwinist worldview. Then they're very happy to ignore those,
yes.
Including, for example, the dinosaur soft tissue deniers that are among evolutionists all over the world now, just amazingly well-confirmed evidence of soft tissue, blood vessels, blood cells, hemoglobin, and so on from dinosaur fossils. But the museums have not rushed to put up exhibits.
No, they have not.
No, this is the greatest paleontological discovery in the history of the science.
It is, and it would refute the idea that the dinosaurs are millions of years, as you have so aptly pointed out, and I appreciate your work and the work of your radio station and ministry focusing on this point, is that you could not have blood vessels preserved as soft tissues if dinosaurs were millions of years old.
Mm.
And yet, as you, again, pointed out on your website, you know, they're finding blood vessels that are still soft,
yeah,
and cells and tissues. And
yeah. Harvard University has sequenced proteins from a duck-billed dinosaur, a hadrosaur.
Yep.
They've got immunological data and sequencing data.
Yep.
And so still, like P.Z. Myers, this world-famous new atheist evolutionist, is saying, we think it's biofilm. It's bacteria contamination. There are so many years out of date, just like they are with junk DNA. They're years and even decades out of date.
Yes.
And these are the leading evolutionists.
And what we are witnessing here, and it's occurring in our lifetime, is that you are witnessing the collapse of actually four modern theories, scientific theories. We're witnessing the collapse of the Big Bang, the origin of life from chemicals, the theory of evolution, and modern geology, that the layers were laid down over millions of years. In our lifetime, we are observing this go down, and it's one of the most exciting things to be part of.
Oh, I agree, Dr. Werner.
To watch this collapse, evidence after evidence after evidence,
yes,
that there was no change. I would like to read you a quote from Scientific American. Now, this is from 2010, from an article called Wing Victory.
Hmm.
And here, a scientist from the California Academy of Sciences is now arguing that she has found many, many modern birds in the fossil layers with dinosaurs, fossils that are dated between 80 and 100 million years old. Now, I don't believe those dates. The
right
point is that she has been arguing this for years, and everybody ignored her evidence, even though she was an evolutionist.
And now it's becoming more well known thanks to really your work, Dr. Werner. I believe that you are the person who is most to thank for making this publicly known. This is yet another argument that the evolutionists are going to have a very hard time using, like the argument about vestigial organs that they pretty much don't use anymore, or right. The argument about junk DNA that they're using less and less because the junk has purpose. It's vital.
And so arguments do not carry over time. They make an evidence for evolution. People believe in evolution for that decade or that generation based on that evidence. Hmm. The evidence leaves. It gets disproved. They come up with another one. It only lasts 10 to 20 years. It gets disproved.
Right.
And the evidence keeps shifting, shifting, shifting.
Yes. Now, the article you cited from Scientific American 2010, that article is a perfect example of what the editors do. When there is evidence that undermines a long-term Darwinian claim, they give it a positive title for the article.
Absolutely.
They call it winged victory, as though Darwinism has been vindicated yet again. They do that every time there is an undermining of their claimed sequence, like sponge DNA. When the sponge genome off the Great Barrier Reef off the coast of Australia was sequenced and published, they act like this was a great achievement of Darwinism, and it has 70% of the genes of a human being, yet it has no muscles, no nervous system, but it has muscle genes and nervous system genes from 600 million years ago, allegedly, and they pretend in their headlines that this is all great for their theory.
And the sponge did not share a common ancestry with humans. It was a different phyla. Its only common ancestor would be a bacteria. The bacteria would not have had the same nervous system. It has no nervous system.
Right. No
and
nucleus.
And there you have the similar genes in dissimilar animals that should not have had a common ancestry. And you're right. The title of that genome project was Evolution is Over.
Yeah, it should have been. Right. When you find from allegedly, and I love that you are very careful never to say from the dinosaur era. You say from the dinosaur layers. The dinosaurs lived with human beings, so we all share the same era.
That's right.
But they were buried in different layers based on all kinds of particulars, their habitat, their body types, and how they were destroyed in the global flood and so on.
You know, not only has the theory of evolution collapsed, but the whole paradigm that evolutionists work off of, these layering system from the Cambrian, Precambrian, Eddycarin, all the way up to, you know, the Pleistocene, et cetera. This whole paradigm is wrong. I could show that to you if I was with you in person. Hmm. So, you know, whenever we refer to these millions of years, we're just showing you, even if you believe their system, it doesn't work. Even if you believe their dates, the whole system doesn't work. I don't believe any of their dates now after doing interviews. I do not believe the paradigm laid out by evolution scientists about the layers or the dating. I speak in these terms of millions of years just to show you if you believe their system, it still does not work. Now, I have come to a new understanding that these layers were not laid down over millions of years, and I could show that to you, but the scientists are working off the wrong paradigm on the fossil layers themselves, so nothing makes sense when you look through it through their eyes.
Well, let me give you one example. The Grand Canyon, the world's leading old earth geologists say that between the layers of the Grand Canyon, which have beautifully flat boundaries between them, often with no evidence of erosion, they literally say that there's a missing 120 million years of deposition in three different places, where you have 100 million years missing here and you have 10 million years missing there, and 7 million years. And in some instances, you have raindrops on the top of the underlying layer, and those raindrops were not eroded away. And then you have the next layer beautifully laid down on top, and they say, oh, 7 million years passed between that layer and when the next one began to be deposited.
The layering system is incorrect that they use, and these layers were laid down in a worldwide cataclysmic tsunami wave event where different waves came from different directions depositing different deposits of sediment. And that's how these flat layers without erosion were deposited, not over millions of years. if the Grand Canyon geologist was correct and 100 million years of sediment was removed, it would have to be removed by erosion through river channels and things. But there's no evidence of erosion. There's no river channels, no V-shaped gullies that you would expect from erosion.
Between these flat boundaries. And erosion is relentless. It's ruthless. And as far as the eye can see, you have beautiful uniform boundaries.
Absolutely.
It is such a ludicrous proposition. It's only held up because it's their alternative to God and the biblical history of the world.
Yep. And I actually have worked out a disproof for that whole geological column. And it includes things like, did you know that any layer can be the bottom layer in their system? You can go to any dig site. It might be right next to the granites, yet it has pigs in it or it has 10-foot trees, and it's the bottom layer. They choose which layer is the bottom layer, and they assemble this in what's called the geological column. But that is a graph on a piece of paper in a textbook that was never seen by a human being.
Yeah, no place in the world where you can actually go on site in the field and see the geologic column. And the Grand Canyon is a great example. And they say, well, right here, and this is not one geologist. This is the U.S. Geological Survey. This is the National Park Service. This is the world's most renowned geologist. They say right here at this layer, you can't tell it at all, but there's 100 million years of missing deposition and missing erosion right there, right at that knife layer.
And that is insanity, because if 100 million years of erosion occurred, there should be gullies
right
in the bottom layer.
Think of those two.
There should be gullies from river channels and creeks.
From the time of Christ, the changes due to erosion all over the world are so significant.
Oh.
Just in 2,000 years.
I don't know how we miss this, how this argument laid dormant for so many years, but the geological column, the millions of years, is over. And that's the fourth theory that has collapsed during our lifetime. And it's really very exciting to see this thing go down and be part of this discussion.
And with carbon-14 everywhere it's not supposed to be, and it only lasts thousands of years, not millions. And thank you, Dr. Carl Werner, for earlier when you plugged our dinosaursofttissue.com. We've gone through a huge effort to document everything that has ever been published in peer-reviewed journals on dinosaur soft tissue. And that alone is a mountain of evidence that the entire Darwinist world, they're afraid of it. They're in denial. They're wrestling with it. But there's the evidence staring them right in the face.
The only way the creation community is going to move forward and finally defeat this whole theory of evolution during our lifetimes is if each person specializes. And I appreciate you putting extra emphasis and specialization in the soft tissue work that you've done. Mm-hmm. Somebody has to pay attention to all the articles that go along with that. And if everybody's a generalist, I'm sorry, but we can't move forward. We need people like yourself, like your ministry, to focus on a couple of issues and be really good at those. Mm-hmm. And I'm indebted to your work for that. And I hope that you don't drop the ball and quit telling us about it, because that needs to be mentioned every month, every week, every broadcast, because it's so important. It's one of those big pieces of evidence.
It's so powerful. That's why we refer to dinosaurs now as missionary lizards.
Absolutely.
Because they're just like diamonds are a creationist best friend, because they have carbon-14 in them, embedded in them, the hardest substance naturally occurring on Earth. And they have carbon-14 in them, which only lasts thousands of years, not millions. So diamonds, we're told, are a billion years old. Well, then how do they end up with C-14 in them? And we rebut the neutron capture secondary claim, because diamonds are not only found in uranium mines. There'd have to be 10,000 times more radioactivity on the surface of the Earth for us to find all the carbon-14 we find everywhere all over the Earth, in amber and coal and diamonds and dinosaur fossils. It is very exciting.
I interviewed a carbon-14 specialist, and she told me about killing a duck, a live duck, on the side of a lake and then carbonizing it and carbon-14 dating it. And then you know what age she got for this living duck that she killed?
What?
1,500 years.
1,500 years. That's a very healthy duck. I interviewed, although he didn't want to be named, a graduate of the School of Mines, a prestigious engineering school just west of Denver, Golden, Colorado. And for years, not only is he a geologist, but he worked bombarding elements with neutrons to create isotopes to sell to industry. And he said, you know, Bob, carbon atoms do not want to receive neutrons. You got to wait till you get to heavier elements. For the most part, neutrons are not accepted by carbon atoms. And so then I looked into that, and of course he was right. And it's a very rare occurrence for a carbon atom like carbon-13 to accept a neutron and become carbon-14. So now they have, like, that's their last hope. And they have to hope that physics is not true, or that we're all bathing in radioactivity all over the world to explain all this carbon-14.
That's very interesting. I had not heard that argument, so thank you for that.
You're welcome. Carl, we only have a few minutes left. I have a list here from your work of some of the birds that have been found in the dinosaur layers. You've mentioned parrots, owls, and ducks.
Yes.
And also you list penguins.
Yep.
And sandpipers and the albatross and
yep.
flamingos and yep. loons. And then cormorants, they're seabirds, right?
Yep.
Cormorants and avocets. Now, are they the things that walk on stilts? It looks like they walk on stilts.
Yes, and that's in our show, our DVD Living Fossils. And they live on the Texas-Louisiana border alongside fresh and saltwater bodies of water.
And so these creatures, along with others no doubt that will be found, these birds are there with the dinosaur layers, yet systematically they're not presented to the world in that way.
That's right. And I got an article in front of me from Nature magazine titled A Lower Jaw from a Cretaceous Parrot. That would be a dinosaur layer parrot. And I have another article in front of me talking about a Cretaceous duck, ruffles feathers, from BBC News. And I have another article from Berkeleyan in California talking about a loon found with a dinosaur.
Mm.
And Monroe Strickberger's book on evolution talks about finding flamingos with dinosaurs.
You present an exhibit, a plaque from the American History Museum in New York City, and it's misrepresenting the truth. They imply that the only bird fossils found in the dinosaur layers were birds with teeth, for example. They don't point out that there are modern birds that have teeth. And they don't point out all these other birds that don't have teeth.
That placard from the American Museum of Natural History, which we just photographed this summer, so it's fresh, is so misleading. When you read it, you get the sense that there's only strange birds with dinosaurs.
Hmm.
The ones with teeth, you wouldn't recognize a single one. That's the implication I got when mm-hmm. I read it. And yet, that's so misleading to the children. Hmm. You know, the children should know that there's ducks with the dinosaurs and parrots. In fact, if they did their job right and put the boa constrictor, which they found with the dinosaur, and the box turtle, which they found with the dinosaur, and the frog, which they found with the dinosaur, and the parrot with the dinosaur, and the squirrel.
And the flowering plants and the mammal with the dinosaur in his stomach.
That's right.
So,
if they put these animals in their displays, every museum did, I think people would walk out of the museum saying, I don't know if I believe in evolution. Why would I? Because the animals were the same.
Thank you so much. Yeah, Dr. Carl Werner, we're out of time. Just a brilliant work. Your Evolution, the Grand Experiment, the books, the DVDs, and I know there's another one coming out on human evolution. Can't wait for that. Thank you, Dr. Carl Werner.
God bless you and your work.
Wow, that's wonderful. And RealScienceFriday.com, you'll find this interview. God bless.
You can support the ministry of Bob Enyart Live by subscribing to Bob's monthly Bible studies, monthly videos, monthly sermons, or monthly classic TV shows at kgovstore.com. You can also support the show and make a monthly or one-time donation by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.